Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my effervescent wife and very best friend, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom, my love, and peace to all our listeners as we pray you will be blessed by today's Bible study on the prophet of Micah. First, let's bow our hearts in prayer.
Abba, Father, in whom you alone we trust and glorify, thank you for the water of your word that keeps washing us clean and provides protective strength, courage, stamina, and power that is so very much needed in these last days. We continue to lift up to you our unsaved loved ones, and for those many who are keeping one foot still in the word, that they may encounter a deep spiritual awakening. We rebuke all demonic forces that continually try to derail our focus on you. We also lift up to you our recent prayer request for miraculous healing. And most important, may this study glorify you. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, it's hard to know where to begin.
I know, right? So obvious how close we are to hearing that trumpet blast.
Okay, update on China.
Well, trade talks are continuing but are very tense. China is retaliating with its own tariffs, and we will definitely see some price increases. Also, we can't ignore their militarization in the South China Sea. And, you know, I knew we bought a lot from China, okay, but recently I just now see the magnitude, and it's really big. A lot of uncertainty is going on, which will affect the markets, of course.
Yeah, but you know, it must be done.
I know. It shouldn't get too awful before the actual G20 meeting that's coming up the end of June. Trump plans on talking seriously with China's President Xi and President Putin while he's there.
Yeah, so we'll see.
President Trump also knows if China doesn't play ball with the United States, it could get more companies to actually manufacture their goods right here in America.
Unfortunately, we are making more enemies these days.
I know, and Jeremiah 30:11 always comes to my mind. And for sure the Russians aren't happy about our interference in Venezuela. But hopefully Russia and China won't join with Iran and start World War III.
Well, rumors are swirling.
They are. Speaking of Iran, besides our aircraft carriers in the Persian Gulf, we also transported some B-52 bombers to Qatar and more ground troops due to the increased chatter that Iran is planning on attacking our forces in the area.
Yeah, people are calling it psychological warfare.
News is that Iran has given the West 60 days to ease up our sanctions. Not likely. In fact, the United States is now slapping sanctions also on their metal exports.
Yeah, but those won't take effect for 90 days.
Yeah. And Iran's proxies, like from Yemen, have conducted a series of attacks using drones on Saudi Arabian pipelines, but are actually trying to blame it on the United States. But I do have to say, there's been a website that has been saying for a long time that we just might do some kind of false flag to actually start a war, since John Bolton has always been a warmonger. It's just something to ponder. Keep it in the back of your mind.
Yeah, way back.
So with all this, at least Iran's proxy in Gaza, the Islamic Jihad, are laying relatively low right now because Iran is also fighting in Libya. So they don't need the added expense or even have the time for furthering a major clash in Gaza.
Oh, yeah, especially amid the buildup of our military strength in the Gulf.
Mm-hmm. And last week, Pompeo sent a message to Iran that if United States forces or its allies in the Middle East come to any harm, that we would respond with direct military action on Iranian soil.
On Iranian soil?
Yes, and we do have 120,000 more troops on standby to go if necessary.
And then there's missiles flying from North Korea.
Yeah, that certainly put the kibosh on any dialogue with Kim, especially since we seized their cargo ship in international waters last week where it shouldn't have been. But Trump felt obliged to show that he's not shy of using military strength in pursuit of his sanctions against Iran. You can be sure that Kim watches every United States move on Iran's nuclear program just like a hawk, just as the Ayatollahs keep track of Washington's handling of North Korea.
And who knows where Russia will stand.
Right, because, as we just said, they are not happy about our wanting Maduro out of Venezuela. And then there's Israel.
Recent news still confirms Palestinians will not accept any peace deal.
Any peace deal this year with anyone seems unattainable, which is another reason Jared Kushner keeps pushing back the date on revealing the deal of the century. Mm-hmm. And it was leaked that if Abbas doesn't go along, all money and aid will disappear.
But, you know, the world's a big place.
Right. So any country, even covertly if necessary, could always step in and give billions to the Palestinians. So we will be watching all that. But for right now, the deal of the century has been put on hold yet again.
Yeah. First, it was after Israel's elections. Then after Ramadan.
Yes. And now till mid-June after Israel's Feast of Pentecost. And it wouldn't surprise me if we soon hear it will wait until after the G20 meeting on June 28th and 29th.
So, I don't know. By the way, today is Israel's 71st birthday of officially becoming a legal nation.
It is, May 14th. And here's our final bit of news, and I think it's a good occurrence, is that Israel, for the first time ever, has deployed 1,000 soldiers to Honduras to train their military on how to be more effective in patrolling its borders, especially against child and drug trafficking.
Yes, President Trump has to be happy about that.
Yes, since he had just threatened no more aid to Honduras unless they did something to fix the uptick of their migrants at our border. So fitting.
Okay, you can read many newsletters or listen to any previous programs on our webpage, as well as sign up for newsy updates on shofarministries.net. You can also send us your questions or comments by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please know how much we appreciate your love offerings, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net.
Okay, Micah, a prophet of faith, even when up against the government.
Well, I know last week we looked at the first four chapters, I believe.
Which is archived on our webpage.
How about a quick summary of last week's teaching?
Sure. Micah was an 8th century prophet, B.C., who actually saw repentance when he warned Judah about their behavior and achieving God's forgiveness. Well, at least for about 100 years until they messed up and therefore Babylon invaded. In chapter 1, Micah had also prophesied about how Samaria in the north, well, they would not repent, and so Assyria took them, and they were dispersed throughout the nations.
That's where we got the term, the 10 lost tribes, I believe.
Yes. But now, all 12 tribes are accounted for as existing today in Israel, making Revelation 7 very believable, where it says there will be 12,000 from each tribe to preach in Israel after we leave.
They will be called the new first fruit.
Yes, and last week we also talked about the false prophets in Micah's day.
Yeah, who kept saying, oh, don't worry, everything will be fine.
And we compared that to today's many false prophecies saying the same thing. and how false prophets are always more popular than the real prophets with the warning judgment.
Yeah, it's called ear ticklers, I believe.
They are. We reminded the listeners whenever it reads in that day that it means the seventh and last 1,000 years of time.
That begins at the rapture.
And finishes at the end of Christ's millennial kingdom.
Where eternity begins.
Yes. Micah preached during the reign of three kings, Jotham, the very wicked Ahaz, who was also a cannibalist, and then the next son was the good king Hezekiah.
And you can read about them in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, I believe.
That's right, and I hope you will. Micah also preached about the iniquity of covetousness and the seizing of properties committed by the government of Ahaz. Micah also pronounces a future judgment of all ruthless leaders in that day. And Micah also prophesied about the future destruction of Jerusalem that was then fulfilled in the first century right after Jesus.
Who also prophesied about it, destruction.
He did in Matthew 24. But we finished last week in chapter 4. When Micah begins the chapter by prophesying about the millennial kingdom and how Jerusalem will be restored high upon the mountain with a new king and judge, but before that, tribulation. And we know that by the use of his phrase, pangs or labor of a woman. The woman being Israel, who will give birth to the born-again experience.
And that should happen in the first half.
Right. At the Battle of Gog and Magog. Read that yourself in Ezekiel 38, verse 23, and Ezekiel 39, 22.
We also explain the phrase, under his vine and fig tree.
Yes, which symbolizes the millennial kingdom. Then we finished in chapter 4 with Micah bringing it back to their present day, encouraging them that they would be victorious against their current neighboring enemies.
And that brings us to the last three chapters.
That contains some wonderful prophecies that we are excited to talk about. Chapter 5 begins by prophesying the first coming of Christ to where they are beating him, as later, of course, we know was fulfilled in Matthew 26 and 27 by the Jews and the Romans. But Micah continues with a magnificent prophecy of where Jesus would actually be born.
And how he was missed by so many.
I know. Micah also says he will be struck with a rod on the cheek. And the religious Jews saw that prophecy later fulfilled right before their eyes.
But they only concentrated on the Torah, the first five books of Moses.
Right. Very little time spent in the prophet books. In fact, the prophet Isaiah, his whole chapter 53, was and still is banned from their reading.
Yeah, it's similar with some Christians today.
Well, very similar in that few pastors on Sundays teach contextually from the prophet books. And obviously, Christians aren't complaining to them about it.
Yeah, it's very sad how today just a remnant desire to understand eschatology.
Oh, many don't mind listening to others' opinions, but rarely want to spend the time doing their own homework.
Which we always encourage you to do.
We sure do. Our true desire is to only stir you up, right, as Peter says. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, Micah says that although Bethlehem is a small town, a great ruler will come forth one day, whose goings forth has been from everlasting.
A great verse for Bible skeptics.
For sure. So, remember Micah 5:2 and show them this prophecy written over 500 years before Christ was ever born. Now we see in Micah verse 3 that since the Jews rejected him, well, he's setting them aside just for a time for the Gentiles. The church age.
And after the church leaves, the tribulation begins.
Yes. And the Jews come back into focus during a time of 7 years called the birth pangs.
Meaning Israel is in labor.
Yes, as we said, and who eventually repents and is reborn as a whole nation after witnessing how God intervenes for them again in Ezekiel 38 battle.
Called the Gog of Magog.
That's right. Then at the end of the tribulation that lasts 7 years, the king returns on the clouds on a white horse with us, now called his wife.
Yeah, Revelation 19:7, right after our seven-year honeymoon in heaven.
Amen. I can't wait for that.
Uh-huh.
Then in verse 5, Micah pronounces judgment on Assyria, as well as describes the future Antichrist by using one of his many titles, the Assyrian. And that's because the people in Micah's day were familiar with this wicked ruler possessed by Satan. But here Micah was also forthtelling of yet another future ruthless leader as the Assyrian king Sargon and others of that dynasty. So when we see the scripture call the Antichrist the Assyrian, it doesn't mean he'll be a Muslim from Syria or even from that area.
In fact, many Assyrians today, they're Christians.
Yeah, it's true. The Assyrian is merely a title for another coming wicked ruler.
And you know, the Antichrist has many other titles too.
Oh yeah, like the King of Babylon, the Wicked Prince of Israel, the Seed of the Serpent. Actually, over 30 titles. But in Revelation 13 makes it clear he will have all the attributes of all the empires represented by the seven horns, which would entail Egypt, which was the first empire, then Assyria, Babylon, Medes and Persians, Greece, and Rome.
Yeah, the Roman Empire, which will be revived.
Yes, as we see in the mixed iron and the clay feet in Nebuchadnezzar's statue.
Dad, do you want to clarify what you think about the clay and the iron feet?
Okay, a little side note. When Rome was in power, as shown by the iron legs, the common people had no say about it. But we see in the coming revived Roman rule, the clay, which always represent the people, then those in the one world religion, will mix happily with the iron and adhere for a while, but then later will no longer mix because the Roman ruler, the Antichrist, known as the Beast, will destroy the one world religion known as the harlot, Revelation 17:16.
Okay, we must move on to the end of chapter 5.
Oh boy, time does go. Okay, so in verse 7, Micah explains the 144,000 called the remnant of Jacob, who will now preach to the Gentiles during the last half of the tribulation. Now remember, according to Revelation 12 and Matthew 24, the Jews who will now be saved will have escaped the Antichrist down south, where they are miraculously protected in the same area that God protected them before in the desert of the Sinai. In Saudi Arabia, not Egypt, as once thought, and we know that by Galatians 4:25. And we recognize in verses 10 and 11 that familiar phrase being used again, in that day. And then through verse 15, Micah prophesies that all their adversaries by the end of the tribulation will be cut off. Hallelujah. In chapter 6, we read that God gives them a long scolding. By the way, we often see governments referred to as mountains in scripture that are hard to move except for God and one's faith, that really need be only the size of a mustard seed, Matthew 17:20. But here God says to speak to me, this mountain, and plead your case. And he goes on, he says, what have I done to you? In verse 3. And then God lists all the good things he has done for Israel. And yes, they do their sacrifices, but what he really wants for them to do is, in verse 8, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. He continues to berate the wicked for their false gods, their wicked trade deals, and dishonesty, and their lying tongues, and finishes the chapter describing their punishment all the way through to the tribulation. Now, chapter 7 is certainly describing the tribulation, for there are key words that help us discern this very particular time in the coming days. First, chapter 7 begins by describing the fall harvest. Now, we know that the tribulation begins in the fall at the time of the fall feasts. His first coming was in the spring when he gave his life during the Feast of Passover, and many scriptures point he will return in the fall. We've gone over those many times. But first, secretly in the clouds to call up his bride, that 7 years later, which will also be in the fall then, will return to set up his kingdom on the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also his earthly birthday. So, verse 1 states, it will be the time of gleaning the vintage grapes. Now we know that's in the fall. And verse 2 is actually my favorite Old Testament rapture verse. It says, the faithful man, or some say the pious man, has perished. But the Hebrew word is abad, which when read contextually can actually mean to escape. And we know that Jesus says that we can escape in Luke 21:36. So let's reread that. Verse 2. The faithful has escaped from the earth, and there is no one upright among men. Now that makes total sense, because at the moment of the rapture, there will be no one left at that moment of time that will be righteous. Because if they were righteous, he would have taken them up. Then Micah finishes this verse with every evil man hunting down his brother with a net. Verses 5 and 6, he even tells them to trust no one, not even family. Rather, look to God for their salvation. Micah then prophesies of Israel's repentance then and again during the tribulation, as we see more end time phrases like the indignation, we know that's a tribulation expression, and then three more times he uses the term in that day. Now Micah uses more descriptive meanings, or warnings I should say, of a coming punishment, and then closes chapter 6 with forgiving words of comfort and shepherding as in days of old. And he shows them great wonders where the nations will see their demise just like the serpent. God will pardon their iniquity, for he cannot retain his anger forever, for he delights in mercy, as was promised to Abraham's descendants from day long ago. Okay, I hope you enjoyed Micah, and I want you to know that next week, back by popular demand, we will be going over all the rapture scriptures again, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, so make sure you have paper and pen and ready to take some notes. And the major question is, if you're listening, who has your heart? Really? How well do you know him? Is he personal to you? If not, you can invite him in right now, this very moment. Just get down on your knees. Repent for your lack of not inviting him in sooner. Because Jesus is your only Savior who has totally paid off your debt for your sins. And I know nobody wants to have to pay for them themselves, but it's always your choice. I'll leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, those who love her. Well, you're going to prosper in every way. And that's from Psalm 122, verse 6. Definitely should memorize that. Have a great week. I hope that you can witness to someone. Make sure you read your word. And if you haven't read Micah in one sitting, it's just chapters, just seven chapters. So bless you. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.